Welcome to the CEN show, the voice of the world community. This evening, we have a nice show ahead of us, and I want to introduce the panel. I'm your host, Roski Mascani. I want to introduce Brother Mashinda. Brother Mashinda is a brother out of Louisiana. And we grew up together in Compton, California. Extraordinary gentleman, scholar, activist, all of the above. That's good. Then we have Professor Amin-Ra. We call him our master teacher. And Professor Ra has been doing this for years and years and years. So we honor and praise his work and his continuous work. This
Yes, sir.
evening, we have a brother out of Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's a buddy of Brother Hood, who brought us some good shows and a person that we affiliate with on a consistent basis. We taught together a few years and at a high school in Compton. So Brother Hood introduced us to Brother DX, which is our guest, and this brother has got a very good topic this evening. The topic is astrotheology, the Bible codes. I thought that was very interesting when I heard it. His brother came on the show with Brother Hood before, and he was dropping some science on us, so we can't wait to hear his commentary. So, Brother DX, welcome to the show, and also, can you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started?
Yes, thank you, Ross. Give thanks and praise to the Most High. We are indeed honored and to be here today. I am originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I live in Atlanta now. I'm one of the descendants of the Black Wall Street. My grandfather was a survivor, and I kind of came across just being curious about history, being curious about religion, of course. I started out as a Rasta. I'm still Ras in my heart. I wear my kufi from time to time when people see me in the streets. You know what I'm saying? That's my 5% energy, along with my Islam energy that I also study. And I came across, I'm also a musician. People know me as being a DJ, being a drummer. I've been vegan for almost 30 years now. So, like, I started it with the Ross, eating my food, Italian. They said, no blood, no eyeballs, So, that's what got me on my journey in just being holistic. I do have a holistic practice. My holistic practice, right now, I'm working with like CBD, you know what I'm saying, things for pain. And I do several other herbs. I'm a student of Dr. Sebi, Dr. Goss, and Dr. Ando. So, I have a little bit of just information about a lot of different things, and I've seen us moving into a new age of time, and I kind of recognize the ages. When they spoke about the ages, it got me curious. I'm one of those I was the little boy in elementary that I went to an all-white school. I was one of two students at this school, Christopher Columbus Elementary in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And one day I was in school, and my grandmother, she always took us to Sunday school. I had to be dragged along to Sunday school every single week, sitting in the church. And in Sunday school, we would color, color the ark. You learn about the ark, you learn about Abraham and all these different things that were going on. And one day I'm in school in my elementary class, and the teacher was explaining about how the Nile River was in Africa, right? So I asked the question in school, knowing what I knew about Moses being put in the Nile River. And then, at that point in life, it kind of, they telling you more about slavery and blacks come from Africa and this and that. So I raised my hand. And I asked the teacher, I said, is that the same Nile River in the Bible? She said, well, there's only one Nile River. And I was like, okay, is that the same Nile River that Moses in? And she was like, yeah, that's the same Nile River. So mind you, I got a whole class full of white folks. I'm the only black little child in the class, right? So I said, well, does that mean Moses was black? She said, no, he probably was this, he was probably Egyptian or something. He definitely wasn't black. So, and then she kind of equated, like, talk to your pastor about that, So I couldn't wait to get to Sunday school. And of course, when we start coloring and doing all that other stuff, I was coloring mine brown, And my Sunday school teacher was like, they didn't really bother me too much, but I kept asking. So when I got a little older and I was able to kind of comprehend history, kind of comprehend the Bible, I actually got two minister's license. I got a minister's license in Baptist, and I got one in Apostolic from two different bishops. So they didn't really like what I was teaching out of the Bible. Like, they wanted me to be just focused on salvation and bringing everybody to Jesus. And I had already took my walk through Rasta. I'd already took my walk through 5%. I'd already took my walk, studying Hinduism and Buddhism. So it was like, what I was bringing forth out of the Bible, it kind of connected it all together. Like, all the religions was basically the same. They just had a different entity that people responded to. So, like, the Buddhists, they have a god that looks somewhat Chinese, even though when you look up Buddha and you find out that the Buddha was black. So I was like, wow, that's interesting. Then when you look at Shiva and Vishnu, with all that that was going on with the Hindus, they paint this guy blue, but the stories, in fact, is about a black man. So, because you had Siddhartha and some other stuff that was going on, I said, well, that's interesting. And then, of course, with Islam, you follow Muhammad. So I said, well, it's got to be something to this, because it seems like everybody has a deity that looks like them but us. So these are generation that said, mama, Jesus ain't white, Jesus black, Moses black, everybody black. Now, when I came across what we're going to discuss tonight, it shifted everything for me. So I'm going to start the presentation off with the Bible, so to speak, because the Bible codes, along with the astral theology, basically connects everything in the Bible to some astrological event or the occurrence of how our solar system moves through these precessions. So each precession is equated with 2,160 years for us as a universe. That means the sun, the moon, everything that it compiled in within our solar system. It takes 2,160 years for us to go through one zodiac. So when it starts talking about the ages, and you notice, like, in the Bible, it kept presenting like these men of renown. So I was breaking it down. So I'm beginning to break this down now. Let me share a screen here real quick. And I'm going to do my best to correlate this here. So we're going to start off in Genesis. And this is a text. Can y'all see that? There you go. All right. So this text is actually from Dr. York's Holy Tablets, which I had a Holy Tablets. I got a quite a few books, the Emerald Tablets, the Quran, of course, the Bible, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, coming forth by day, all these different, like, teachings that gave us something, a little hint of what the truth really is. So I just didn't get stuck in the Bible, but when I started studying and doing my ministry, I came across a lot of these things, and I had to put it together for myself, because nobody's really out there that I could find that was really coming with everything what I'm about to present today. So a lot of this is my own studies, my own research, and just kind of putting it and piecing it together from other doctrines and other information. Okay. All right. So let's set the record straight. The Mysteries, the Genesis is a story of genealogy of Isis. So when I got that part, and when I start looking back at Isis, I'm going to explain in a little while how Isis ties into all of this. And I'll get to that in a moment. So, and the first seven chapters of Genesis, we're taking to the Emu Elish and the Gilgamesh epics. The rest is copied from Egyptian mysteries. So this is the context of the Bible, and I'm going to show you like where they got a lot of this information from and what it actually means. So these are some of the codes along with the astral theology, which I'm going to explain. I'm going to skip down to the second paragraph. It says, so as you can see, the pale race was originally from another planet. They are star people. They do not belong here, but their ancestors from the stars want to take over this planet. All right. The Bible, like I was explaining, each procession lasts 2,160 years. So the Bible actually begins in the procession of Gemini. So why do I say Gemini? If you go back, and we'll take a look at that real quick. In Genesis, in the creation of when God made everything, there was always a Gemini representing the twins and twos, you know, the yin and the yang, the up and the down, the left and the right. So prior to that, you would have the before Gemini, and I'm gonna take you back a little bit, you would have the era of the crab, which is Cancer. Okay, so in Egyptology, the crab would be represented by the dung beetle, the beetle, and then before that, you would have Leo. So Leo will be represented by the Sphinx. So during that era of the Sphinx, you had a certain culture, a certain way of life, certain consciousness that existed on the planet where people were able to do certain things. As it progressed, and these other entities became knowledgeable and got a little information, we're talking, you know, 700 BC, you know, before Christ, BCE, all the way up until the Constantine situation, which happened in 3 AD, 300 AD. So the change in consciousness, when we went into Gemini, it took the consciousness of the planet into a polarized situation so that the Earthlings had to recognize that we have a dark side and we have a light side. We have to recognize the sun, we got to recognize the moon. You got to recognize the good, you got to recognize the bad. Then you had the instance of the serpent. So the serpent talking to Eve, meaning that they had a conversation. And it explains that this was a beast also created by the Most High. So that in that creation of this beast or this entity explains them coming to our dimension, to our plane, to basically wreak havoc. Moving forward in the Bible, you will have symbolism of this duality of thought, this duality of things, the polarization, dealing with your hermetic principles. That would be your polarity, the things that are up and down, as so above, as below. So you start dealing with that consciousness of things and people and energy, the male and the female, the gender. All right, recognizing your gender, recognizing that, oh my God, I'm naked. You know, oh, this might not be good because somebody is going to be lusting after me and I might not be presented in the correct way. So in Genesis, you have Noah. All right, so Noah is bringing about the end of the Gemini era by putting the two by two on a boat. You have the system of Cain and Abel. So all these stories are based on other stories, which I'm going to explain how the brothers is always involved. There's always two brothers fighting over something. You know what I'm saying? A good brother and a bad brother. And I think that energy still exists within our family dichotomy. that, you know, it's always a good brother that goes get the job and becomes a lawyer. And then you had the other brother that's a dope head and he ain't doing nothing. He just hanging out and sleeping on mama couch. And I think that dynamic still resonates today. All right, so moving forward in the possession, I'm gonna share something else here with y'all real quick. If I could pull this one, pull this off. Okay, so here, let's see if that's gonna share. Is that Sharon?
Not able to see it. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Just got to blow it up some.
All right. That's the one that was a little blurry. So let me see if I can blow this up. Oops, wait a minute. There we go. All right, so like I was explaining with each procession, we have the dichotomy of where as a system even move through these zodiacs. This is a diagram of the movement of the sun during the year, like the year cycles that we have. And each cycle is permeated in a religion. For example, I want to use this one because this explains if you look like the north, south, east, west, those signs, there's the cross, because it would make a cross if you made the line going down and made the connection as a plus, so to speak, in the middle. Okay. Don't mind the degrees and none of that. That's another lesson I was doing. So on this, you can see where the sun dips down and as it moves clockwise around the clock. So everything was dealing with in the system of time, it deals with this circle of the clock wheel of destiny, the clock wheel of time, the clock, you know what I mean? It's always a circle. The zodiac's in the circle. Everything is like circular in that level. The sun moves in a procession where when you get to where it says west on this side will be the rising sun. So this would be considered on a zodiac scale, this would be considered the springtime because the sun now is moving up past the equator, moving from his southern position all the way up to the top position, which would be north, which would be your summertime when the sun is at its highest peak, and then it begins to descend again when it gets on to the east side. Then you have fall. So this is the fall of the sun. Each one of these sessions during the spring equinox in the west and the winter solstice in the east, the west represents in Christianity, it would be the Easter, which Ishtar is another deity from another religion where they get Ishtar from. Ishtar was based on deity where they believe she came down with a golden egg, and people would go and look for this golden egg. It also represents fertility because on the zodiac chart, Aries is the first zodiac. So that's the actual new year, the beginning of the cycle of the sun. So when it starts coming up, it goes around. When it comes back down, this will be your fall. So this will be like autumn on this side. That's why we call it fall because it's the fall of the sun. When it gets down to the south end, that's December. So December on the calendar would be represented as your Christmas. Or in certain cases, when the sun rests, you can follow the dichotomy on that if you choose. It rests at that sun pole for 3 days. It rests 3 days every year from the 21st through the 24th. And then on the third day, it starts to move westward again and start moving north. So the sun resting on that cross, and the cross is the constellation in that particular zone is called a crux, which is can be converted as the cross. So this is the sun dying on your cross here. Then the sun rises again, and then the sun dies. So the death of the son, which we equate to the birth and resurrection of Christ. So that in that sense, they is talking about the son. Now, when you move forward from in biblically, we're gonna have the Taurus. So let me pull up this other one here real quick. And y'all kind of excuse me, I'm kind of moving through this kind of swift. So like the Taurus is the next constellation in our clock wheel of destiny. So the Taurus is going to be represented by none other than Moses. Moses, in the story of Moses, they had the golden calf. All right. When people couldn't comprehend the lesson of the Most High, and you didn't have an internal contract, because we had an internal contract, a covenant that we had with the Most High. For those who could not follow the covenant and did not have an internal contract, you had to put it on paper. Just like we do now, you had to put everything on paper, sign here for your house, sign here for your car, sign here for this, sign here, that sign. It's always a contract. But just like with what we're doing now, we have an internal contract. He said, "Hey, brother, you gonna be on at 9?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll be on at 9. You gonna show up at the grocery store? You gonna meet me at the gas station?" We have these internal contracts where we say, "Okay, we agree to agree." If you don't have an internal contract and you don't somewhat trust the person, or you feel like it's something nefarious going on, you're gonna have an external contract. You'll say, "Here, sign right here," and make that agreement. So in the era of Taurus, that's when the contracts came out with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are based on the 42 principles of Maat, which also come from ancient Isis. All right. The Ten Commandments are 42 principles. So that's an ancient Isis. Then you have the story of the flood, which is actually another story from the Emerald Tablets, when they explain about Enkian and Lil and how they came together. There's two brothers again that fought against each other over what to do with the humans. So that conflict basically created the contract so that everybody could be on the same page, so to speak. You move forward. After that, you have an Aries energy. The Aries energy is the Aries of the sacrificing. That's Abraham. Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, but he had a ram in the bush. So the ram, of course, represents Aries. So in the era of Aries, for 2,160 years, they went through the Baphomet God energy where everybody was sacrificing things. Unfortunately, some are still caught up in the Aries energy and still are in that particular age of thinking and doing and manifesting and doing things. They feel like they have to sacrifice something in order to gain something else, or they're sacrificing something because of their guilt or their sin, or they're trying to accomplish something. So it was an era of bloodshed. Okay, so when you move forward, we have after the Aries, the next one in line would be Pisces. So Pisces is, of course, represented in the Bible biblically as the Christ, as Jesus. Jesus went about the way. He had like two fish, you know what I mean? His men were fishermen. You see the cars riding around with a Jesus on the back, that little symbol, and it has a fish in the middle. So that's representing the era of Pisces, which we're just coming out of. So some people are trying to figure out, oh, what's going to happen next, into a revelation energy, which where the Bible explained, Jesus explained to his disciples that the next age, or he was like, I will not be with you for much longer. He says, I need you to go and find the man with the pot of water. All right. Now, traditionally, women are the ones that carry the water. So when you have a man carrying the water, that represents Aquarius. Aquarius began with the Greeks, with Zeus. Zeus saw this really handsome dude, you know what I mean? And he was like, oh, come up here to Mount Olympus and you could be our cupbearer. All right. And that's what started that particular constellation. And so when they put it in the Bible, in a certain context, you have, like I say, these different men of renown that represented certain energies in our time frame and what we're representing, what we're doing in the consciousness of the people on the planet and our relationship to the universe and to the Most High. So let me break this down for y'all as well. The concept of, okay, like you have 12, from Jacob, you have the 12 tribes, right? So, like, again, the number 12 is very powerful. So you got 12 inches in a foot, you got the 12 days of Christmas, the 12 hands on the clock are actually designed with a 30 degree separation between each number, which is also the degree of the constellations within the zodiac. So I said, wow. So if these are connected, if the zodiacs are connected to the clock with 12, you got these 12 days of Christmas, 12 this, 12 that, la, la, la. It goes on. So I said, okay, well, what's the correlation biblically of how these connect with each one of things that I found in the Bible that were 12? And the major 12, of course, is the 12 tribes. So when you break down the 12 tribes, see if I can pull this up for y'all, and we'll be moving forward. When you break down the 12 tribes, you get, hold on. Okay. I'm gonna get good at the screen sharing in a minute. I was still working on. Let's see. That's not there. That's so. Oh man, hold up. Cause I wanna show you all this, cause this will kind of help with a little clarity on this particular. Right, so I had a breakdown. If you go to Genesis 6, Genesis 46 actually breaks down the context of each of the 12 members of the tribe. When Jacob calls his sons in, they all come in, and Jacob begins to give them their blessings according to their personalities. And their personalities actually match the different zodiacs. So you will have Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn. He says, "You are as water." So he becomes Aquarius. You have Simeon and Levi. Those two acted as brothers, but I'll explain in a minute how they switched that around, because at the end, Jacob was like, "Nah, y'all can't be that, because y'all went out and enslaved these men, so I'm gonna have to move you." So you will get a Gemini energy from Simeon and Levi. Then you have Judah, of course, is the lion. Everybody recognize the Lion of Judah. That's your Leo. Zebulon is your Pisces. Levi, and then they moved Levi to a Taurus and moved Issachar to hold on. Issachar was moved to hold on. Okay, so Zebulon. Okay, you got the Lion of Judah. That's Leo. The Virgo is Dina, the sister, because she represented the virgin, because she was raped. Then you have the Libra, represented by Dan. You have the Scorpio, represented by Gad. The Sagittarius, because he gave Joseph the bow, and he gave him and he said, "You're the archer." So he was the Sagittarius. Naphtali is the Capricorn, and of course, Aquarius, that's Reuben, and Pisces, and so on and so forth. So it broke it down. The movement of us through that procession, Jacob actually gave us the science on not only the zodiacs and how we move through them, but he also gave us the science of, like, the big head scientist from Yaku when he was breeding the sheep. And he was like, you know, he took the spotted sheep and the speckled sheep and separated them out, so he knew how to breed and make other breeds. So he was like the scientist. And then the story of his brother, you know, being Esau, was born red all over, and it said two nations would be divided from her womb. So these two brothers, once again, here's the dynamic, the dichotomy of two brothers warring and fighting each other over something, over land, over the blessings, over who's going to get this, who's going to get that. This dichotomy continues to repeat itself. Now, when you move forward, I'll move forward. I wasn't able to pull up that other screen, and I could probably do this without them. So, but it kind of brings it home a little bit. When you look at the let me see, I need to pull this one up though, because this one's kind of interesting. So the stories of Isis and Osiris gives you Horus. So the story of Isis and Osiris, Isis represented like if you, any of you ever seen the Black Madonna. So the Black Madonna is a representation of Isis and Horus. It's the same energy, but of course that story took place 5,000 years prior to when they came up with the Jesus story. So it was still the same symbolism of a woman who has a natural, excuse me, an unnatural birth through immaculate conception. In the story of Isis, her husband, who was Osiris, he had a jealous brother. Once again, this brother energy, this dichotomy with two brothers warring is always repeating itself. So Set was Osiris's brother. Set got mad. They got into it and they tricked him and put him in his coffin, in his casket or whatever, in the case, and throwed him in the river, in the ocean. So Isis went and got his body, brought it back. Set chopped it up into all these different pieces. That's what they got, like 40 days, 40 nights in the ocean and all this. So chopped them up, and then she went and went to pick up all the pieces. She found all the pieces with the exception of his penis. So in Egyptian mythology, you have her as a bird sitting on the penis, of being perched on the phallus, so to speak, which her extracting his semen and giving and doing an immaculate conception on his body. Now she was also known to be raising the dead. So she had a lot of the same attributes as Jesus. Everything what Jesus did, she pretty much did some of the same stuff. They attributed those same magical powers that Isis had, and they put it on Jesus, even the Immaculate Conception. So Horus represented the like we get horizon from Horus, we get horizontal from Horus, you know. So the economy of the words and how they use those, and we're not even really aware of where this came from or the root of these words and how we utilize the information that's coming to us now, like the Bible, the Quran, all of them have the same dichotomy of where they're getting the information from is being switched up and turned around and giving us a story that existed 5,000, 6,000 years ago. Now, that's a long time. When you start calculating thousands and thousands and thousands of years, of course, if it's only oral, then it's going to get switched up a bit. All right, so let me bring y'all this one. So then the other 12 we're going to talk about just briefly is the 12
Okay,
disciples.
brother DX,
Yes, sir.
can we get a some little input from everybody as far as they may have a question to this point, because we've been going for about 30 minutes. So I had a question for you. So I'm gonna start the questioning off. So
Okay.
now when you make these correlations, the 260 years, you said it's always like 2,060, 600 years, something like that.
2,160, yes.
Okay, so now I get into a thing with I have a difference with people. People have belief systems, and then I have what is called an it is system. So are you believing in certain things, or are you saying that this is it, or not it, but this is versus belief?
No, this Yeah, because everything what I did have some charts and stuff that explain this. You know what I mean? Where you could actually do the math on each procession as we move through each zodiac. There is a math equation to it. There's math on all of this. I do have the math that breaks it down to the circumference of the earth. All that correlates back to, how we move through each one of these processions. So that's a good question. Yes, there is. It's fact. That part is fact.
So are you saying that the Bible is potentially fictitious?
Potentially, yes. That the entities in there represent a particular code of ethics, a particular code of how we responding to the Most High and what's shifting on the planet as we move forward. Like right now, we're just coming into Aquarius. So the consciousness is changing. The people's frequency is changing. Your language is changing. How you communicate is changing. You know what I mean? There's a whole shift of what people think and how they think and what they're doing and how they're moving. You know what I mean? So this is all in correlation to what's happening now. Presently, we're moving into Aquarius, so it's going to be another thought. It's going to be another rule of spirituality and concepts and ways of being. It shifts every 2,160 years for the sake of the planet, because the planet has to upgrade, so to speak, to keep up with us as a people, and whatever else is happening. We've been invaded, so that's part of the revelation. Part of the revelation is. When you read the Revelations, you will see the letters to the churches representing in sevens, seven candles. You have the seven churches, all right? And they equate these to seven angels. So these seven are the ones of us that know represent like your chakras. These go back to energy centers. Your Christ energy being the crown chakra. Your lower energy, your kundalini, your negative energy is going to be your sacral. Like, if you know where your kundalini is, you know where your crown is. These seven chakras were supposed to be protected. But according to Revelations, this is where the higher power and the higher energies that are supposed to protect us have failed, because we're not supposed to went through struggling, the slavery, the mishap and everything else that's happened on this planet. When I explained the serpent before, the serpent multiplied. They became the giants, the men of renown. There was a dark side to human existence. So that dark side began to rule. And that's where we at now in Pisces. Pisces gave them grace and mercy so they could get it right, but they didn't. So now Aquarius on the zodiac is an air sign. Even though it says Aquarius and it's got the little waves of the water, it's actually an air sign. So the air represents the movement of things. All right. So it's like a storm. If you're grounded when the storm comes, it's not for you. You in the eye of the storm, it's calm. But everything else around you is swirling, is moving out the way things that don't belong, things that are not grounded. It's got to be shifted. We're moving into third. We're coming out of third, going into a fourth dimensional plane. Now, on a metaphysical level, when you talk about the astral aspect of this, the fourth and fifth dimension would be equivalent to your dream state. So the they say, so a man thinketh, so is he. We have the power right now that you can actualize anything you want that's available to you. You can pull it to you as gods and say, ye are gods. All right. So that power of manifestation and actualization is the activation of our Christ energy through our Kundalini energy, raising to a higher point. One of the things that where that's relevant when you could see it is the medical caduceus. With the two snakes intertwined, they had the medical caduceus where you had the snakes intertwined coming up to the crown chakra, up all the way to your elevated Christ self. So, and that represents your cerebral fluid. If for men, When you ejaculate, the cerebral fluid flows from down your spine and shoots out of you. That's what creates life. Same thing with a woman. When she has her organs, she can feel it. You feel her shaking her legs doing all this because her cerebral fluid, her cerebral fluid is flowing through her body. You know what I mean? We
Right.
create the adrenaline, we create the serotonin, all these different chemicals in our body for memory, for sensations, for high thinking, high learning, expectations. The opening of your third eye is the reason why the third eye is also represented by Isis. She gave us that third eye concept where if you look at the third eye, it's your peripheral gland, that same little circle and the line that they put with the eye Horus, they say that is your pineal gland right there at the front. That when it's open, it's open. If it ain't, and the reason why they were the cobra in the front, because they say that when your third eye opens, you can feel the tingling, and it feels like the snake with his tongue open and the cobra opening up its I don't know what you call it when this cobra opens it up, and that's your third eye opening, his tongue come out, you can feel the tingle in there sometimes. And so they wore the crown. Same thing with the caduceus. They saying basically they put the snakes on there to show you what it represents and how you elevate to that level. So we're moving into a fourth and fifth dimensional plane. That is thought. That is the air. The air waves. We put out frequencies in the air. The powers that be are looking to control the air. Right? Because you have airwaves, you got Wi-Fi, you got Bluetooth, you have now you got 5G, all the different things that control the air, not realize even the telephone. Telephone comes from what? Telepathy. All right? The television, tell a lie in the vision. When we used to be able to project ourselves anywhere on the planet through astral traveling. You can go anywhere and visit people and hang out with them on certain planes of existence, just like you do when you dream. It's the same thing. These are just different realms of existence that we have access to that we're not utilizing to its full potential. But now that we're moving into Aquarius, we'll be able to utilize these gifts and these strengths just like we were Superman.
All right, brother. Let's get Professor
You got
Rock.
any more questions?
Oh yeah, let's get I want to include the crowd. So Professor Rock,
Let's do that.
questions, comments. You got to unmute, Professor Rock.
Help me out.
I appreciate what you said, if I understand correctly. And brother, I want to thank you for your deep research and analysis of what you research and your interpretation of what you research and you putting it down and trying to educate people to how you see spirituality and its connection to astrology. That's a deep effort, brother.
I'm still working at
Well, I understand, and so you have
Thank
to
you.
believe in both astrology and spirituality from the standpoint of the Christian, a Judeo-Christian faith, which most of the world do not, and they don't practice. Like when you say the sun moves, but it's really the whole solar system moves, and the sun circles the earth. I mean the earth circles the sun.
Well, I think you had it right the first time. Who knows? But go ahead.
Earth circles the sun. What I say, but anyway, religion is a challenging aspect, and even astronomy. In astrology, they have a class called astronomy. Astrology is altogether different. That's based
Right.
on a belief system. Taurus do this, Cancers do this, and things of this nature. And as far as the characters are concerned, with regards to biblical characters such as Noah and the two of everything. That's supposed to have a meaning. The serpent and all of that. Even when you research the biblical text, it tells you that it's a collection of stories and poetry and ideologies that people created, and that's how they wrote the Bible. And that's what the word Bible means, a book. Holy Bible means that it's a spiritual book and things of this nature. But most of it is just a collection of stories. Now, my question to you is, where do you have a confirmation of appreciation, respect, or acceptance of your theory? Is this just your theory, or your notions, or you have references? Or you said you just read it and you put this together yourself, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for the most part. Like, it's actually, that's a good
Well,
question. It's
who else?
actually.
Because you have so many different perspectives. You mentioned Hinduism, Buddhism, and you go into Islam, 5% of all of those were created by people.
Correct.
Just like your notion of astral theology. That's a new term. I mean, I have not heard any people in those individual spiritual realms that you mentioned relate to astrology as a part of their spirituality. And but you're connecting astrology to all of them. Are you
Yes.
following
Okay.
me?
Let
Yeah.
me elaborate. All right. So when I don't know where I came across certain information, you know what I mean? But I do have tons of books I've been reading for years. Like, and when I, like I said, when I started a ministry, because I was going to be a Baptist preacher, and it didn't correlate with what I really felt in my heart, the truth, you see? So, okay, like, one of the things that kind of got me going, okay, like the Muslims, they go to Juma on Friday. So
Yeah, I know.
Friday, can you hear me? Okay, so
Yeah, I said 12
Friday,
noon. 12 noon, that's when they do June. Yeah.
right, they do Juma on Friday. So Friday is represented by Venus. If you know Spanish, that would be Viernes, which is Venus. That's a star, that's a planet. That's a constellation of energy in the sky. So even the crescent moon and the star represents the Venus. And some will say it's Saturn in another way. But when you move to Saturn, that would be your Jews. And in Judaism, they had the star David. They worship on the Saturday, the Sabbath. The Saturn, Saturday. You know what I mean? That's Saturn day. So that's also represented in the zodiac. Then you got Sunday, S-U-N, sun, which Christians go to church on the Sunday, the S-U-N, Sunday. Then you have the temples that open for a lot of the Hindus and some of the others. They open on Monday, which is the moon day. They even call it lunes in Spanish. That'll be lunes. So Tuesday would be martes. Martes, that's Mars. Wednesday is Mercoles. That's Mercury.
I'm following you on that,
So,
but what relevance does that have?
okay, because what I'm drawing a correlation to is the strategic aspect of all these different religions are based on like zodiac and celestial bodies. Even the teachings themselves are based on celestial and astrological bodies in the stars. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
All
but
of them.
what's the
So
relevance of that?
that's what took me there. Like it all related. It all related back to something that was esoteric or something that was dealing with astrology, with a particular constellation, a star, or a story behind how the star got there, or the story behind how the constellation became what the constellation is. There's stories behind it. So those stories are the stories that they put in the religions and the Bible in different places. And if you don't notice or know the zodiac or that particular constellation of what it represents, you wouldn't really have a clue. You see what I mean? But when I start seeing the relationship, it was like, wait a minute, this is the same thing as this, and this is the same story as this. Oh, so this constellation mean this mean, and that's why they put that there. And you know what I mean? So I just start putting the dots together and putting it like a puzzle. You know what I mean? I still got some more puzzles to put. When I broke down the I got a picture here with the Last Supper. The Last Supper from Da Vinci is broken down into the 12 zodiacs again, where you have the three and three and three and three, which is the seasons. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is, you know, winter, spring, summer, and fall. They all break down. If you read into it, you can see where they explain what this is and what it represents. But if you only read in certain sections, then you already have a programming thought behind what it means, then it's not as easy to open up. If you go to theology school, they teach you a certain way. If you go to the imams, you sit down with them, they teach you a certain way. I went and took my own time, my own energy, my own research, my own books. And you know, one thing is like a rabbit hole. You start going down that rabbit hole, and it just keep going and going and going until, you know, we get to where we are now.
Okay.
All right.
I'll let some others ask a question.
Yeah, let me go through the we have three other people. Brother Mashenda. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right, Brother Mashenda. Question, comment?
Yes.
No questions, no comments at this time.
All right. Brother Hembrick.
Yeah. Hey, appreciate you, bro, DX.
Thank you, thank you.
I didn't hear your bio and how you got to where you were. I know that you just mentioned that you started as a Baptist minister. So are you affiliated with any religious groups now where, you know, to have you know, doing the study that you're doing now, or spirituality,
No,
because
no,
of this, as an individual yourself?
no, this is I'm an individual. Like, I'm not part of any, you
Okay.
know, religious organization or nothing like that at this moment. But like I say, I've been, like, if you miss my background, I'm originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know what I mean? I went to University of Oklahoma. I reside in Atlanta right now, and I actually started my journey as a Rasta, and I'm still Rasta. I still believe in Haile Selassie on that level because, you know, when he was crowned the Emperor of Ethiopia in 1930, they actually gave the crown back to the people after all these invasions and all this conquering and all this other stuff they was doing over the course of years with Mussolini and all these different folks. They actually gave it back to the original people. Like, here, you know, it's y'all deserve this. Get here, take your land back. You know, and that's kind of like where I'm at right now. Like, we need our land back, you know, on so many different levels, not, you know, like the planet itself. And then my history, when I was studying with the Rastas, and you know, I had locks down my back, you know, smoking my herb, bumble clock this, bumble clock that. And you know, we would sit, read the Bible, get some understanding, we would build. And then I moved from that into like 5% Nation. So I studied Clarence 13X, looked at all that economy with the 1 to 20 lessons. I actually had the book at one time. And you know, that gave me the energy of being God, of being God-like, being in the image of God, being the drop of water in the ocean, the same chemistry, the same balance of things, just a little bit smaller. So when I recognized that, it kind of changed everything for me.
I was kind of feeling a little Hebrew Israelitism there for a moment. That's why I asked the question that I asked, because I kind of tuned in late. But anyway, appreciating what you study. I'm kind of studying there myself right now, with the African spirituality, and I'm aware of the constellations and that everything comes from there. And I'm studying the Amenta right now and the Duat and all of
Okay.
that. So I kind of hear where you're coming from. It's kind of new to me too. For the last year or so, I guess I've been studying in that area, and I'm reading a few works now by Massey, Egypt Light of the World, and also Spirituality Before Religion by
Before
Khomeini.
religion.
Yeah, and so that's what
That's a
I'm
good book.
doing. So I kind of hear where you're coming from, and I'm trying to connect it all myself. And so I feel where you're coming from, but I know that the Netaru is it. It's all, mythological works, that you're talking about. And so I'm trying to tie that in with the Netaru nature to see where it's taking me to get to these astrological places you're talking about with the chakra. I do a lot of sun gazing and all of that. So I feel where you are. Matter of fact, I was late because I was out there catching a little bit of Ra, when the clouds passed over and I could see him. So I sat out there, and which I try to do every evening. But anyway, appreciate what you're saying. I kind of know some of the stuff you're talking about, and I'm trying to do a whole lot of study in that area because of other stuff. I know the Nile Valley stuff and all of that, and how the stories change through the, coffin text, pyramid text, the Memphite theology and all of that. So,
Wow, thank you. Yes.
yeah, so appreciate your presentation.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, so what you on right now is pretty much what I was on, you know what I mean? On that same level. It's you stay in it. Like I say, it's a rabbit hole. You just got to be able to let certain things go to pick up other things. You know what I mean? Like if I got stuck in a certain ideology and not being open to read something else and look at something else, you know what I mean? I have like the Emerald Tablets. If you get your hands on the Emerald Tablets kind of sums it up in a nutshell for everybody. Like even with Isis dealing with that story with Osiris and how that relates back to Jesus. You know what I mean? If you read the story of Isis, you'll see everything that Jesus did, Isis did, or vice versa. So all of the stories basically correlate from something. You know what I mean? They relate back to something. And the further back we go, the closer that we get. To me, it's like the closer we get to the truth. You know what I mean? Because we've been lied to so much, and it's been so many different things. You know what I mean? Like on a political level, on a historical level, on a spiritual level. I had got into, and this is kind of a little off topic from the astral theology, but I got into a conversation with a brother the other day, and it just kind of came into my mind that we was talking about the wars that were fought here in America. So you have wars like the not just the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, but when they was fighting against the natives, when they stopped doing the physical fighting and bloodshed. We went into a conjuring war. So the conjuring war, of course, this is when we doing our candle burning. We doing our incense burning. But let the Europeans tell it, that's wicked. That's witchcraft. But they doing the same thing and putting these spells on us. They even burn witches at the cross and then told us that our way of doing like voodoo or whatever was bad. Why? So that's because shoot, I told some young brothers the other day. I said, "Man, put some baby powder or something in your pocket. If you get pulled up by the police, just pull it out and blow it in the air and say some boogaloo, 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 boogaloo words, and see if they still mess with you. You know what I'm saying? Like for real." And I actually had a young brother that did it, and the police told him to go on about his way. You know what I'm saying? Like the things that they fear the most is what they don't want us to do. Like they really want us to learn. These aspects of what I was explaining about the 12 tribes. You know, I love my Hebrew Israelites, but when you get into this, the Hebrew Israelites, based on that theory of being a slave and you know, building these pyramids is a slave mentality in a sense. And then you look at the 12 tribes, how I broke it down a while ago. I don't know if you was on when I broke down the different 12 tribes and which zodiac they relate to.
Yeah, you did. I heard
Right. Okay. And the same thing goes for the 12 disciples. You know, if you look at the Last Supper, and you can go from left to right, and you'll see each season. They even break it down in seasons. All the disciples are in quandaries of threes. So you
excuse
have the summer, you have spring, you have summer. The sun is in the middle, which is represented by Jesus. All right. And he's actually next to Mary, even though some of the people will say that it's John. But Mary, if you look at the M on the Virgo, is an M. It's shaped like an M. The symbolism is an M. So I was like, okay, so that's why they made Mary Mary, because she was a virgin, the Virgo. You see? So it all come back. And
Right.
she's right next to the sun. So the M also represents the Mercury energy, because
Can
she's right next to the sun.
I ask you this question?
Yes, sir.
I've been reading in this book of spirituality before religions about the Amenta and the
Right.
Dimwat, and one is trying to get through to Amenta. You got to pass by these 12 obstacles. I don't know if you.
That's right.
You know what I'm talking about? So I'm wondering,
Yeah. I...
and that's much older than the 12 tribes and all of that. So I'm probably figuring that number 12, was taken from that boat ride, the obstacles of the Dumwat to get to that 12 there. But I see a lot of the symbolism that you're talking about and the stuff that I'm researching. So I just wanted to ask you if you had come across that in the path to a mentor, trying to get to Asar or Osiris.
Osset, Osiris.
Yeah.
That is the journey, my brother.
Okay.
You know, because even with the story of Isis and Osiris, it talks about the procession, what I was explaining before, the movement of the sun and the movement of our solar system through these zodiacs. Like we move through these zodiacs 2,160 years, and then you can break down the circumference of the earth using that math. You know what I mean? Where you have if you do the circle, and then you have the degrees, is the star David is based on a 30-degree principle. So if you put the star in the middle of a circle and make the line going across and one coming down, you will have the 30 degrees of each of the numbers on the clock. You know what I mean? It all represents a certain vibration and energy that's right in our face. All of the numbers, all of the letters, everything on this planet is based on a line and a circle. So all the lines and circles are the geometry. That's your basic geometry, is lines and circles. That's what every number is. That's what every building is. That's what every the even the constellations, all of it is basic lines and circles, lines and circles. You put a line here, a circle there,
I
and
got
you'll create now I forgot what sacred geometry.
okay. I got one last question. I'm gonna let you go. When you refer to the Most High, what do you mean when you say that?
For me, it's the all in all. It's the supreme intelligence of all there is.
Okay, I got you.
You know what I mean? My personal belief, I don't know who else believe it. It really doesn't matter to me. But to me, everything and all things are God. I deal with the seven hermetic principles. All right. So everything vibrates, everything has rhythm. There's a correspondence, you know, there's polarity and there's gender. That's what I do, and mentalism. I base most of my personal information and my personal thoughts are based off of the seven hermetic principles on everything. That's how I came into astrotheology, because I was dealing with the seven principles, and I seen the 7 day, I mean seven, yeah, my seven hermetic principles, and then I seen the 7 days of creation. It was all broken down with that. Then I seen And ask how many times should I be blessed? Seven, how many times should I forgive? Seven times, seven times, seven. Then you got seven candles, you got seven chakras, you got 7 days of the week. You got, you know what I mean? Seven is the G letter, the God. You know, we deal with sevens. So you got the calendar month of the lunar calendar is based on seven. That's why you got 28 days, 29 and a half if you count the cycle. So the 28-day cycle, and to me, I believe that's why they gave us February to remind us that we're in a moon cycle. If you look at the days of the, I mean, the months in the year, some of y'all scholars, I know y'all scholars and paid attention that October is 8 and not 10. You know what I'm saying? That December is 10 and not 12. That Novi is 9. So it was already in correlation, but when they flipped in like January, the first month, rather than making Aquarius of March the first month or the end of April the first month, you know what I mean, where we have the Easter, which is the rising of the sun coming up, making a better day. You know, you have the equinox, and then you have the winter solstice. So in the winter, the sun goes down and is at its lowest point. That's in your December, and that's when we do Christmas. Then during the spring equinox is when we do Easter. So we have these different little things that have been going on, but it was basically according to what our sun was doing,
Right.
or what our moon was doing,
Right.
or what the earth was doing, or what position the earth was in. We all correlate to zodiacs because you got a birth date.
Right.
So everybody got a birthday. You recognize your birthday. All born this day. All born in, you know, September this, that. I'm a Capricorn. I'm a this. I'm a that. So. And then we relate their personalities according to their zodiac. Now, what I've noticed, and now I'm just not coming into not only seven chakras, but I'm learning that we got 12 chakras. So
Right.
I'm learning about the other five now. You know what I mean? I can't really elaborate on them because I'm still in that study state, but I feel like, wow, like, okay, so I got the seven down. I got my breathing techniques down. When I meditate, I'm doing. You know what I mean? I've been vegan for over 30 years. I started it, and then nobody even thinking what I was doing even made sense. They thought I was gonna shrivel up and die. It's like, how you gonna live on this earth and not eat chicken? You must be crazy. What's wrong with you? They for real, my mama thought I was in a cult. She's like, what is you doing? What you mean you don't want no chicken? What's wrong with you? And I had my locks then. I was like, nah, mama, you know, it has to be iced out. You know, mama, you have to be iced out. No blood, no eyeballs upon me, you know. So she was like, boy, I don't know what you're doing, but okay. But
The chakra go, I know that it's some inside the body and it's some outside the body. So those five that you're not hip to, are those the ones that are outside the body?
correct.
Okay.
They're like, I know one is like where your ankles and then like your knees. You know what I mean? That space between your ankles and the space between your knees. You know what I'm saying? And then there's a space between your elbows on
Right.
both sides. You know? So I'm still putting that together and seeing exactly how that permeates. If you look at the tree of life and also the, and I had a diagram I wanted to show, but it is the it's a the diagram of the, it's not the tree of life, but it is the tree of life. But it's the jewel is in the Kabbalah. Where you had a circle, and then you got like two circles on the side. You got one coming down, and it makes like a pyramid shape. We had intersecting triangles, explaining the dichotomy of the human body, like what Da Vinci did with the man with his arms out, and then the other arm is at 30 degrees.
I think I ran across that in the metal netter.
Yeah, it's in the Metal Netter too, and but it's also in the Kabbalah.
Right.
You find it in there, and it really breaks it down with the chakras, and it talks about the external energy because you know we had a force field around us that we create, your chi energy,
Right. Right on.
which you create.
Appreciate you, brother.
Hey,
Man, I
so
appreciate y'all too.
we got one more brother on here. Brother Uwais,
Yeah.
hey. Brother Uwais,
Peace, family. Can y'all hear me?
yes,
yes,
we
sir.
can.
Thank
Mute.
you. Peace.
Oh, y'all can hear me? Oh, okay. Yeah, peace, y'all. How y'all doing tonight?
All is well.
That's all right.
That's good.
Wow. Let's see. Where cannot begin because you, and you said a whole lot.
I know we went in for a minute, about an hour good.
Yeah, I was like just jotting down a couple points here and just trying to get where you're coming from. One, I would like to know if is there a particular book that you would recommend us checking out that best represents where you're coming from? Because you said, you know, you read a whole bunch of books and stuff that kind of led you to where you are right now. But if you could like choose one or two or three books that you could refer us to kind of like give us some insight on as to what best represents your point of view, that would be great.
All right, cool. All right, just for the record, for the most part, this is like a puzzle. So, like, it was a combination of different things. All right, because I did have the background of the Bible, which most people are familiar with, but that actually took me to other places. So I'm definitely going to recommend the Metsu Netter, the Medunda
Okay.
Torah, dealing with the sacred Egyptian energy, because most of the signs and symbols out of that book, you will notice that they use them in everything that we work with, everything from Starbucks to Target to doggone, even the Pope got a fish hat on. You know
Okay.
what I'm saying? The Pope got a fish hat representing Pisces, the era that we're in right now. That's why he ruled the world. You put on a fish hat, you might be ruling too. But now we're going into Aquarius, so we got to find the next uniform. The other book that I would definitely recommend is the Emerald Tablets. The
Emerald
Emerald Tablets
Tablets.
and the Holy Tablets. If you can get the Holy Tablets from Dr. York, that's another good book, because he goes into the story of the galactic battles that were fought before Earth was formed. And some of that gives you an insight on these other beings and how they invaded the planet. It reverts back to when I was talking before in Genesis, where they had the serpent, Eve talking to the serpent. So the serpents represent the reptilians. Those are the reptilians. Like, it's so prevalent. And then they breed it with the humans and giants. And it said the sons of God came out of heaven, whatever. So where they come from? They wasn't womb born. They came from somewhere else, intergalactic or interdimensional. Either way, they wasn't originally here. And that changed the it changed the social construct of this planet. It turned it into a polarized planet, so that you have a negative, a positive, up, down. In order for you to create energy in any form, you have to put the negative and positive together, like a
Okay.
battery. If you just plug up one end, you won't have nothing. And the
Okay.
same thing
Next.
with us as humans.
Okay. And
Like, you gotta have
my.
a female to plug into to create a child or to create the energy that you want in your household. You better plug in. If you ain't plugging in, you got a
So
problem.
my other question was regarding the you said the Last Supper represented like days of the year. Now, are you basing that based on a on a picture by, like, say, Michelangelo or somebody like that,
Yeah, the
or are
Da
you
Vinci picture.
or are you basing it on what you were reading in the Bible itself?
Both. I
Because, you
do
know,
have certain
in the
scriptures.
Bible, you know, it don't give like no order of how they were sitting down and stuff. It say like John was sitting close to Jesus, but you don't know where Peter was sitting or
Well,
James or,
see,
you know. But we
right.
do have like these European pictures, you know, that we look at. So are you basing your philosophy based on like some of the European pictures or on the actual text?
Okay, good question. I'm actually doing both. I
Okay.
use the picture and the text to figure out who was who. Who is Aquarius? Who is Pisces? Who is the Virgo? And then when you put it together and you look at the actual, like, what Da Vinci did, because yeah, these are Europeans. They all were on the same page, doing the same thing with the same agenda, which their agenda was to permeate their energy and their thought and their way of being and their way of life on us. You know what I mean? So even though, you know, we can relate, because these are all stories and parables to help us deal with our own persons, our own personality, our characters of people. You know what I mean? Like I was talking about, like the dichotomy of the brothers, always arguing, fighting, killing each other, doing this with brothers. You know what I mean? So I do my best to make sure I try to have a good relationship with my brother, but I know we bump heads, and I know why. You know what I'm saying? So I explained to him, like, you want to be Cain today, or you want to be Abel? You want to be Enki, or you want to be Enlil? You want to be Jacob, or you want to be Esau? Which one you want to be today? You know what I'm saying? And we laugh and joke, and it kind of, you know what I'm saying, lighten up the thing. So it is a combination of both. Like I can direct you, like when I broke down and I figured out the 12 tribes is in Genesis 46, and he did them all together. That was easy. The disciples, on the other hand, they're kind of like spread out a little bit throughout the four gospels. So you kind of got to read into certain things that they did or did not do. Peter carrying his sword, the warrior. You know what I mean? Who's going for the water? Who's the virgin? You know? Which one of them is, you know what I'm saying? Like the different characters of even how the zodiacs are built in the characters of man. Because we all have a dark side and a light side. We all can be stubborn at times, like a Taurus. We all can be sexually active, like a Scorpio. We all could be super intellectual, like the Capricorn. You know what I mean? These characters of a man. They're, we
Okay.
all the zodiacs. We all those 12 characters. But according to, like, when you was born, and this is my personal thought, according to when you was born, that helps you resonate with what your purpose is. Like your purpose, you in this energy at this time with these parents, with this cousin, this nephew, this car, this. You know what I mean? Like, what is around you that you can attract while you was born at that moment at this time? What are you
Okay.
attracting? What is your purpose?
And I don't mean to cut you off. I'm just rushing
No, go
because, you
ahead.
know, everybody got to go and stuff. But like in terms of like say the balance between the historicity that you see in like say in the Book of Revelation. You mentioned the Book of Revelation and the seven churches and stuff. Like if you can go to Turkey today and see the seven churches. So like how do you balance like archaeology that you know like that kind of like I guess squares itself with the biblical text and how that fits into your point of view you know
Right.
like
So when I see
for example you know like they say Jesus was born in Bethlehem but you can go to Bethlehem you know or he his ministry was in Nazareth and in Galilee well, these are places that you can go to. Or John the Baptist was, you know, baptizing at the Jordan River. You know, the Jordan River is a real place. You know, these are real
Jordan
things
River
that they,
is.
you know, so
Okay, I got your answer right here, bro.
you understand what I'm saying?
I totally get it. This is where I'm at with that. So for me personally, like I look at history from the perspective of what can be proven. Like we know there's a River Jordan, but outside of this particular text, or like say like the Bible or the Quran, and they say this event happened and that event happened. You know what I mean? There's usually more than one account of a particular story in different times. Like you might have different accounts of Jesus, but every account is in the same book. So where is Jesus outside of that? Where's Herodotus writing about him? Where's Pluto writing, Plato writing about him? Where's Socrates writing about this particular person? That this happened or that happened. Or you, like, if you look at the tablets and some of these other books that I was explaining, you'll see the same story with different characters. So, like, if this story happened 5,000 years ago, and you're gonna tell me it happened during this man's time, we got a problem. And I don't see nobody else writing about it. Like, Herodotus ain't writing about him. This person ain't say nothing. They was all around in the same era. But you don't get the real story till 300 years later with the Council of Nicaea. So you have some issues. The Quran written in 700, the Holy Bible written in 1611, the version that we read. So you got 1,000 years, 1,600 years for a one story. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, for me personally, like, I couldn't equate that story being 1,000 years old. And we can't even tell a story from 1 week to the next. So they can put whatever they want to in a book. And the fact that you can't find it nowhere else, like, you can find the Byzantine Empire and that story and who slaughtered in the Ottoman Empire or the Spartans and what they did at certain times. You know what I mean?
You can
Or the
find
Greeks.
the Babylonian Empire too, right?
Exactly.
The Babylonian Empire. Well, that's mentioned in the Bible and stuff. You know, like the Greek Empire is mentioned in there. King Cyrus. You know, of
Right.
Persia.
So what
You
I'm
know,
saying
there's like
is
these are real places. But real quick, because
Yeah, go
I know
ahead.
you gotta go. When you said that you rock with Haile Selassie, that you still ride with Haile Selassie, do you believe that Haile Selassie is God?
Brother, I believe you God.
Okay.
You God to me, for real. Like,
So
for
why
real.
do you believe, what make you believe in Haile Selassie then above anybody else?
Haile Selassie, because they gave him back the crown of Ethiopia for his people, more so than anybody else on the planet can really claim that at this moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's his people, that's his land. They gave him back. He became the emperor. They gave him back his land. They gave him back his rightful rule over things, over his people. The rightful rulers are back. You know what I'm saying? We don't have that here yet. We don't have that nowhere else in the country. Sutar Overture Haiti, that's gone. You know what I mean? Mama Cali in California, Sacagawea, all these different natives that was here, we ain't got our shit back yet. They got theirs back. At least they gave it to them. You know what I mean? Like, recognizing, you know what I mean, the true history of who was there, the Kushites, you know what I mean? And being in Ethiopia, they got the oldest history. They got their own calendar. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I recognize that as a awakening, a great awakening that can take place at any time. So that's why I recognize that. And, you know, my first love was Rasta. So the music, the culture, that's what I gravitated to first that got me out of, you know what I'm saying, my little box of not being aware of, you know, just going about to and fro. It took me deeper into this radical spirituality.
Okay, man, I appreciate you allowing me to pick your brain, brother. And
I need
last,
that. I haven't had this much brain
yeah,
exercise in a long time, so.
and man, I like what you said about the sun going around the earth, but that could be a whole nother, conversation for another day. Me and Rigo, we was talking about that one time, and
Hey, get me on it.
we got pretty deep, but
Yeah,
you
get
know,
me on
I
that
was just,
conversation.
yeah. You know, that the sun is, might be closer than we actually think it is. You know, we've been told it's 93 million miles away, but when I look up in the
Right.
sky, it's right there. You know what I mean? I look up in the sky and I'm like, man, the sun is right there. But anyway, I don't mean to detract
No,
from your
they.
conversation.
Yeah, but check it out, brother. Like, one question, and then we can kind of get off this. But one question that Dr. Blair had asked one time in one of his lectures. I don't know if y'all familiar with Dr. Delbert Blair. I'm a student of his too and a fan. Rest in peace. But he asked a question one time in the lecture. He said, if the sun gives off light and heat, right? But when you come off of the Earth's atmosphere, it's cold and it's dark. But the sun is 500 times larger than the Earth, apparently. But when you come off the Earth's surface and you go up into the stratosphere or whatever, it's cold and it's dark. But the sun supposedly gives off light and heat. So what is the sun for real?
Something to think
Anybody?
about.
Anybody?
Hey, Life is, hey, it's all, man, encompassing, brother. Boy,
Rosmoski, what you got to say about
hey,
that?
this is fire.
I'm
Oh, this is
gonna
wonderful.
leave y'all with that one, y'all. Somebody can tell me why the sun is gives off light and heat, but when you go up in space, it's cold and dark. Like when you cut a light switch on in the room, it illuminates the whole room. Everything in that room is lit up.
Yeah, well, look,
The space is dark.
look, I know you only did half of this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to do a part two. Is that cool?
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Hey, well, so we're gonna have to schedule that, man. We gotta keep this going, man, because this,
Now
well, you took us to some
y'all got me
places
going though.
here and there, like, woo!
I didn't I yeah, y'all
Oh,
asking some
man,
really good questions, man.
this is something right here. I didn't think it was gonna be like this. But this is beautiful, man. I appreciate it,
Thank
man.
y'all. I'm so grateful, man, because y'all got me on my P's and Q's, and I gotta, make sure I'm on point with what I'm doing. That's why I told you I was like a little nervous, man. Like, because I
You
know some of this
nervous?
information you can't really find. You can't really find this really too much anywhere. Because, like I said, like next time I would like to show some of the charts and some of the other stuff. I gotta get good with the screen sharing, and then it'll give y'all a different perspective where you can actually see some of the things of what I'm explaining and how this moves and what this does, and there's some math behind a lot of this. So, it's gonna all come together.
Math is powerful, man.
It's all math, man. I got
Math
a
is
math equation
powerful.
right now that's really killing the game. I'm still putting it together, but it's really based on 144,000. So, and 144,000 relates back to the circumference of the planet Earth. It relates back to the anatomy of the human man, you know what I mean, with your five fingers and all that and your joints and everything. So there's a science behind it. Like the 144,000 breaks down into like a tetrahedron, you know what I mean, which is the blood molecule. It's deep. But I
Oh
get into that
man,
next time. And it all
serious, serious science, Brother Joe.
and the Jehovah Witnesses believe that only 144,000 is going to heaven.
They ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm sorry, but it's okay. They can believe whatever they like, but there's a math behind that 144.
Right. So, Professor Rob,
Yes.
we gonna get Carl Douglas.
No, but we do have Damon on April 10th. Carl hadn't called me and confirmed yet. I'll try to reach him again tomorrow.
April 10th. That's a
April 10th.
good day.
April
April
10th,
10th.
yes.
That's a
Thanks.
good day.
Y'all, they're doing a good job, man. These brothers, they're buying property. See, it's one thing to talk black, to talk solutions. It's another thing to develop a strategy and implement solutions. And they are buying property, creating low-income houses for black people and trying to keep Leimert Park going, and he's going to get into all of that.
Okay, good. So that's on the 10th.
He's still trying to buy. They got messed over trying to buy the Crenshaw Mall.
What?
Politicians came in and gave it to another company when their bid was better. He'll explain all that.
That's beautiful. So that's in a couple of weeks. So next
So I
week.
got a quick question for Armin Ra.
Yes.
I heard you mention the Crenshaw Mall. When I was in L.A., that mall was run. It was owned by Orrin Z. Is he? I know he moved, but he didn't sell it to one of us.
No, I don't think he owned it. I don't know how that happened. But if you come in on April 8th,
Okay.
brother, this
Is that
brother
the
got
eighth?
all
That's
of
the 10th, right? On the
it.
10th.
Yeah,
Yeah.
April
10th.
10th. April
Yeah.
10th. He's going to tell you the whole story about the whole thing about how they bid for it, and how they was going to get it, and how they were fighting to get it. And when they didn't get it, they took the money that they had raised and started buying another property around Crenshaw, trying to keep it black.
Right.
And so he'll explain all that.
Yeah, I love to hear that because I was good friends with Orangey.
Well,
That's
they used
good.
to have Malik, and then they had the jewelry store in the Crenshaw Mall.
Right.
And they love him.
But when the mall had closed down, Orange Z had got in. He put the Black Facts Wax Museum in there and the radio station at the bottom.
Yeah, but I don't think he owned the mall. But we'll
It was
find
mad.
out.
Right. That plaza right there on Slauson, right there.
No, I'm talking
I
about
mean, on
the
Crenshaw,
rich.
there's a plaza right there where the mall was on the corner right there at Crenshaw. He had that whole thing. Because he told me the story about how he slept outside on in the parking lot for some years. And
We're gonna find out.
yeah, that'd be good. I want to
Okay.
hear this. I like to
Okay.
hear that. I'm definitely gonna chime in. April 10th, everybody.
Yeah. So next week we're gonna do a forum then, right, Ron?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. So
No. Next week I'm gonna. Well, I'll let you know tomorrow by tomorrow.
okay, so we might have somebody then.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. So next Wednesday, we got a Damian McCallman coming back. This will be his third time back. He came on the last time with his mom, which was a good show. So the topic is character or color. How do we want to be judged? So this brother has a minister background. We just found out a few weeks ago. He didn't tell us, but he has a minister background. So we're gonna have a nice conversation about his topic. So brother DX, man, this was man, something for me. I don't know about for everybody else, but you might have seen me. I was down here making some faces and stuff. I was just like, wow, was giggling and laughing. And I mean, it was a good time, man. And I can't wait for
Yeah,
you to
thank you
come back
guys.
on, man. And I appreciate you doing this, man. Really
You're
do.
awesome, man. You always have my support on everything, bro. So, I appreciate y'all having the platform and doing what y'all do. Y'all some very intelligent brothers, and I just thank y'all for allowing me to share it today. Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother. So tomorrow we got a special edition show. We got the brother coming on. I'm a little tired here, but we got Mr. Bobby. Mr. Bobby is the co-host with Neely Fuller Jr. He's the co-host on the CRSC show, Counter Racist Code Show, CRCS show. Let me get that right. So he's coming on tomorrow. We just gonna have a conversation. He wanted to just talk, and that should be real good. If you guys can come, that'll be a good one. Also, very interesting, brother, and sitting with Neely Fuller for all of these years
Wow.
co-hosting, man, just Neely Fuller is just straight code, counter-racist code. So,
Okay.
all right, fellas, we're gonna take our pause. We're going to say each one teach one. In Conscious Corner, everybody remain having a great evening. And brother, stay on for a second, brother DX.
Okay.